Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
Well, now we're just going to spend a little bit of time in God's Word. This is kind of the time of the message here, and we kind of end the service really with a message and then a song. And so if you've never been out, that's kind of where we're going in the next little bit here. It's exciting. It's an awesome day today. Actually, Happy New Year, by the way. Booyah! Happy New Year! Unbelievable. 2019. Back to the future. When did he go to the future? When was it? 2018? 2015? Oh, so we're way past it. Bummer. I thought maybe it was 2020 and we still had one more year of a chance for flying cars, but guess not. So, 2019's here. Texans have lost. Packers are out.
Cowboys won.
Oh, man. This is going to be, nobody's going to even be in church today with all of the, like, Lord, I promise I'll go to church the rest of the year if you just let them win. I figured nobody was going to even be here. It is really cool seeing a couple people here this morning. I love it. You're catching us like in our brand new series that we're calling The Dwelling Defined. We do series stuff here at The Dwelling often, and we're starting a brand spanking new one. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be looking at this. Now, what is this all about? You guys remember that core class that I'm always talking about for our announcements? The core class is a class that meets at one of our leaders' houses. And you can go to our website right now and sign up to start getting some information. Which, by the way, I've been pushing for like the past month, okay? So I've been pushing hard to get people to sign up for the Dwelling Core class, which is really a class that's all about who we are as a church and discussing it and talking about it and seeing how we can plug you in and getting you in a relationship with other people and all this kind of stuff. Well, nobody has signed up for this thing to get any information. So because nobody has been the sacrificial lamb, okay, nobody has like taken the bullet for everybody else, I was like, you know what? Fine, you think you beat me, but you didn't. I'm going to just bring the core class here, like right here. So it's quite honestly, I'd still really highly encourage you to jump online just to sign up for some more information because I think it's, what's that? It's a good, exactly, it's fun. Thank you, Annette. Exactly. Definitely want you to sign up for that because this isn't the best place. Quite honestly, this is not the best place for what we're going to try to do. Yeah, no food. Yeah, exactly. We always got food at the core. But seriously, what I'm trying to say is, like, I would love it if you would sign up for that. But we're going to spend some time talking about who we are as a church and laying the biblical principles for who we are and why we do what we do. That's where we're going to spend some time, okay? And so over these next 5 weeks, you're going to learn, quite honestly, a bunch about who we are as a church, the things that we're going to be kind of driving to, why we do some of the things we do. And so I just hope this is a time, but it's also going to be in the context of preaching. So it's going to be in the context of like sharing the gospel and God's word and the biblical basis for why we're doing some of these things. So where we're starting today is not just our mission, not just our vision, but we're actually going to be starting just with our name. The Dwelling. Why is our church called The Dwelling? We've only been around for a year, okay, as a church plant, really. So we're a very new church. We're in this building that we don't own. We rent this building out. The Dwelling. Why are we called The Dwelling? Well, there's lots of scripture texts that I would take us to, because it's really a theme that I see in all of Scripture. God coming to dwell with his people. From the very beginning, walking around with Adam and Eve, all the way through God's word, Okay? God dwelling with his people in the tabernacle, God dwelling with his people in the temple. You don't know what some of those things are, but that's okay. But just my point is, all the way through, God is dwelling with his people. And at the very end, in Revelations, at the very end of the Bible, God comes again to dwell in the midst of his people. Revelation 21. It's a central theme. But one scripture that really stands out to me comes from John chapter 1. Okay? John chapter 1, verse 1, and this is what it says. Now, this is deep, and I'm not really preaching hard this baby. Like, this is some deep stuff here, but just follow this thought. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, if you're confused, that's okay. Don't be too freaked out. There's a lot of people that have spent a lot of time thinking about that verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This Word is capital W, right? There's something powerful about this Word. And then in verse 14, what does it say? And the Word became flesh and dwelt, and the Word is almost like tent or tabernacle, you could almost say. The Word became flesh and dwelt. He tented, tabernacled, the dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is this? This is Jesus. This is like the Sunday school answer. Who is this little kid? Baby Jesus, right? You see what I'm saying? So, baby Jesus, and the Word became flesh and dwelt. He came to dwell in our midst. Now, that's huge. That's huge. And as I think about our name, I think about the dwelling, I think about God coming to dwell with us. That's where we're going. Now, I want to kind of expand on that a little bit. And I want to expand on especially how uncomfortable that can be, how difficult that can be, and how sometimes we don't even want that, okay? So let's say a prayer, and then we're going to get into it. You thought that was the message? Nope, that was the intro. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, excuse me. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask that you would be in this moment, be in this time, work mightily, God. Do the work in our hearts now that we can't even do ourselves. We invite you to speak into our lives, not only into our ears, but into our hearts, into our lives. And God, just work mightily now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You got to help me out here a little bit today. What do you always have with you? Cell phone? Cell phone. Okay. Is that true of pretty much everybody in here? A cell phone? What do you always have with you? So I'm going to take my phone. I'm going to put my phone, because I'm with you on that. My phone is something I almost always have with me. Almost always. What other things do we almost always have with us? Keys. Are keys pretty much something you guys have with you almost always? That's actually pretty true. I'm going to quick grab my keys. Here. That's a good call. I usually do have these, although this would be a little bit secondary for me. But yeah, almost always my keys. What else for y'all? Wallet. Yep. Or a purse. Put my wallet up there. Pocket knife. Yeah, that's interesting. That would actually make my list of four things that I am almost all. Wedding ring. Nice. I was going to take that off, but I better not. Keep that on for a second there just to make sure nobody gets mad. But yeah, good call, Greg. Wedding rings, maybe we guys, a lot of us have. Pocket knife. I'm with you on that. Eyeglasses. Anybody got a pair of eyeglasses I could borrow to throw up here? No, I probably don't want to do that. Okay, that makes sense. Be blind. What else? What else do you have almost always with you? Kids. Okay. Aw, that's fun. Some of you are like, I wish they weren't. What else? Hold on, back there? Zip ties? Are you kidding me, Lyle? Are you kidding me? That is you. Okay, so we put some zip ties up here. I have a little cross that I almost always carry, almost every day. That'd be one of my four. I have a little pocket cross. I have a phone, a wallet, and I almost always carry my knife. Like that, my dad's like, that's just, you always have your pocket knife on you. Even right now, I feel. Okay, what about, I mean, some of us are missing some things that are pretty obvious. I mean, hello, folks. Some undies? Underwear? Anybody? I mean, nobody even shared that. You guys scaring me out there. Wearing some underwear, Levi? Keep your undies on, man. We're not putting those on the altar today. Okay, so we got clothes, some underwear. What else? Anybody else have like a, maybe a little weirder thing? Not a weird thing. I'm not looking for a weird. Shoes, hair, socks, earrings. Okay, so maybe some jewelry. Somebody always has jewelry? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay. So we, well, maybe a watch. Some of y'all are big watch people. Okay. A little prayer stone that you carry with you every day. Cool. So we have some things, right, that we carry with us almost every day. Like we wake up and we reach over to the stand when we put our pants on or something, and we belts, I'm thinking, and we put on our belt, we put on our underwear. Well, hopefully, maybe you just got your underwear on. We're not going to get there. We're not going to go there today. Some of you are just like, oh, shoot, he called me out. Maybe you put your underwear on. Maybe you already had them on. I don't know. But you start putting your stuff on for the day, right? And you're putting this stuff on, you're putting it on, you're putting it on, and it's what you're taking with you, not only today, not only every day, but as I was thinking about it, I was thinking 2019 is a year where I'm almost for sure, like in a year from now, if you ask me what's on you, it'll be these four things. I'm going to have them. I mean, unless I'm like on a run and I got my gym shorts on or I'm at maybe the gym, maybe sometimes I don't or something, but I'm going to have my pocket knife on me. I'm going to have my wallet with me. I'm going to have my cell phone and my little pocket cross I've been carrying around for a long, long time. That's the stuff that I have on me all the time. And here's my question. Now, obviously, that's kind of a soft little lead up to something that I kind of want to ask you, which is this. How big of a priority will God be this next year for you? Okay. I heard something over here. Number one. Okay. I could just give that some thought. How big of a priority is God going to be for you this next year, 2019? Like we're what, 6 days in? How big of a priority is he going to be for you? And let me ask you this question. Do you even want God to go with you this next year? Yes. No. Okay. Give that some thought. Do you even want God to go with you this next year? Like, is God something you want to, like, put on this next year? In every single aspect of your life. Do you really want to take God with you to work? Do you really want to take God with you into your home? I'm not talking about the 40 crosses you got on your cross wall. Down here, that's a thing. It's okay. I mean, if you got a cross wall, that's cool. But I'm not talking about a cross wall, 40 crosses. Oh, yeah, I got Jesus with me. No. Do you even want God to be in your home? Do you really want God to go with you in your pickup truck? I'm not talking about the little Jesus bumper sticker, little Jesus fish thing on the back. I'm saying, do you actually want God to come with you in your pickup? Do you really want God to come with you this next year, like on the weekends out? Why wouldn't we? Well, that's something to think about. See, we want Jesus for sure this next year, 2019. When we find out we have cancer, some of us might find out we have cancer this next year. See, then we'll want God to be with us. Then we'll probably try to tap into the old higher power. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Lord, I could kind of use you now. See, when something bad starts to come your way, or maybe something like a relationship starts to dissolve, or maybe like all of a sudden somebody just dies suddenly. It's like, what? How is that possible? That guy was like 39 years old. He's a young dude and just dies. See, then we want God to come with us. But I'm asking you, I want you to give some thought to, do you really want God to come with you this next year into every single aspect of your life? Do you want God to come and dwell with you this next year? Now, whether you do or you don't, Hebrews 4 is a text you have to deal with. Hebrews 4 says this. This is a book in the Bible, okay? A book in the Bible, and it says this. No creature is hidden from his, God's, sight. But all lie naked and exposed to the eyes of him. And that's not weird. That kind of sounds weird. But what he's talking about is the inner heart. Everything lies exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. He already sees all. And we have to deal with that. Do we like that? See, it's interesting because actually part of us doesn't. Our sinful side of us, we don't want that. I don't want God to see and be part of every single aspect of my life. I mean, there's so many things in my life that I would prefer God to not see that thing. The way we treat our spouse. The movies we're watching, like the movie right now as I'm watching it, do I want God to be in that moment? Do I want God to be in the way that I deal with people when I'm angry? Do I want God to be in the middle of my addiction? Do I want God to be with my doubts? Like, do I want God to know about my doubts and struggles? Every single aspect of your life. Do you want God to come with you this next year, 2019? Do you want him to? See, we want God to see us. I was thinking about this. We want God to see us this next year because this probably will happen to most of us. When you see the fire burning, and you run in to get the two puppies, and I got it right here for you. You run into the burning building, and Tim Tebow, the dogs. Okay? Thank you, Calvin, for laughing back there. One guy, thank you. Nobody. But are you getting this? Like, I'm not saying this will actually happen. I'm just saying, if that were to happen, we want God to see that. Like, we want God to see us, like, saving the two puppies. When that happens in 2019, you'll be all over like, hey, God, do you see what's up? You see what's going on? See, we want God to see that stuff. See, what you guys start to play is this game. I've shared this in this setting before, but it's really what our culture has come to believe in. It's a moralistic, therapeutic deism. That's what's primarily believed in our culture today. There is some higher power, some kind of deistic power. We're in a kind of moralistic, therapeutic. So if I need God, then I'll tap into him. moralistic. And what I mean by moralistic, I mean we want God to see some of the good stuff we do. And as long as I keep myself in relationship to somebody who's kind of scum of the earth, I can pretty much come out as a pretty good guy. See what I'm saying? As long as I'm like killer of, you know, that Houston, I'm so glad they caught that guy, that you know, guy from that killed that little girl. They caught him. Well, I think, right? Yeah. Praise God. So they caught that guy. As long as I keep myself in relationship to this guy, and as long as, like, things are pretty good, I save a puppy or two a year, then I come out pretty good. And see, we start to actually believe this is what the Christian walk is all about. We actually think this is who God is. And we begin to create, I'm telling you, what we do is we actually create a religion. And it's not about a relationship at all. It has nothing to do with the gospel. It has everything to do with how you think about how God should be in your life and what he should see and what he shouldn't see. And even if he sees it all, come on, just add it all up and I come out 50-50, I'm probably 51 pretty good. That's bullcrap. That is not the Christian walk. Do you want God to come in to the middle of every single aspect of your life? That really is a religion called zero-sum game. Right? Just kind of add up the good, add up the bad, and hopefully we come out okay. If you're banking on that, that's not the Christian walk. See, God, listen to this. God wants to be actually part. Now, this is what's amazing. God actually wants to be part of every single aspect of your life. Every single aspect of your life, God wants to be part of it. And that, my friends, that gang is just absolutely mind-blowing. He wants to be there and see when you save the puppy. Yeah, he wants to be in that. And he wants to teach you what that is supposed to look like as that happens. But in 2019, when you absolutely fall flat on your face and you bomb it, God wants to be there. He wants to be in that. As you continue to go back and back and back to the addiction, and you can't shake it, God actually wants to be there in that with you. You get that? And God actually wants to be there when you find out you have cancer to bring you a peace that surpasses understanding. He actually wants you to see what relationship with him looks like and what the fruit of that relationship is, even in the midst of terrible things. It's called a theology or a doctrine of the cross. As we struggle in this life with different things, God actually wants to come and be in your life in every single aspect of it. And the proof in the pudding, because you're like, yeah, but prove that to me. Where does that actually happen? Check it out. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. True-wee. You see that? God himself came to be in it with us. He came right into the midst. Man, he came to be with us. He came to go to the cross. To pay for the price of our sin. He came to die. And God, the Word that was before time, the Word enfleshed, died for you and for me to save us. And then to rise again victoriously. And then to return to one day what? Be with us again. But it's so crazy because, listen, he doesn't just stop his presence ministry. He doesn't just stop that when he ascends back into heaven. What does he do? He promises to be with us. What does he say at the end of Matthew before he ascends into heaven? He says, I will be with you always to the very end of the ages. And where are some of these places where he promises to be? He promises, folks, and I'm going to get a little deep here, and so some of you, if I lose, it's okay, but just follow me here. He promises to be in his word, the word in flesh. He promises to be in his word. He promises to be in the sacraments of baptism, Galatians 3. Whoever's been baptized into Christ has clothed themselves with Christ. He promises to be in this meal up here. He promises to be in the mutual Christians being together. What does he say? Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I as well. Where else, what might you say? Well, what about the word that dwells in our hearts? Even as individuals, Jesus going with me in every single aspect of my life. And I was thinking of another one. What about, and it's, some guys push this almost sacramentally, which is just so cool, I think. It's a little pushing it, but what about where Jesus says, if you give even to the least of these a cup of cold water, you give it to me. See, what about the Christ in my neighbor, especially my neighbor who's in need? Oh, baby. Now, I just went really super deep there, actually. What am I just simply trying to say? I'm simply trying to say God wants to be with you in every single aspect of your life. He wants to walk with you this next year through it all. So thinking about other dwelling passages, I've shared this passage with you before, but look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, just to kind of close us off here. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. This is those who put their faith in Jesus Christ are part of God's very family, brothers and sisters, children of God. Members of the household of God. Listen, look at this. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. We're being built into something. Who is? What, the place? 21130 Legion Road? The old Yellow Rose building? No. See, he's going deep. This isn't about 21130 Legion Road where you're sitting right now. This is about a people, God's people, who are being built together into what? In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. A place where God's Spirit dwells in the midst of his people. What, a perfect people? People that have it all figured out? People with no struggles and no problems? With no addictions? A people that have, never sinning anymore? This day forward, I'll never sin again. Is that what he's talking about? No, he comes into the darkness. He comes into our midst, every aspect. He wants to be in your bedroom as you're struggling with that thing, as you're struggling with, how to deal with this. He wants to be in your home, not just 40 crosses on a wall, guys. He wants to be present in your home, in your workplace, in your pickup truck. God goes with us in every single aspect. And as I was thinking about this text, as we're being built together, I was thinking about Jesus being a rock, the cornerstone, on whom everything is built. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually have the ushers come back around. And I have something for each of you today. And you can do with it whatever you want to do with it. But each of you today is going to get a little rock. A little rock. And I'm going to personally try to do this next year with this little rock is have it be number 5 thing, cell phone, sixth thing, underwear, knife, little cross. And I'm going to try to pop this little rock in my pocket. And what it's going to simply represent, there's nothing magical about it. There's nothing anything about it. That's all it is a little rock, you know, a little stone. And I'm going to have you each pick one out. And if you want to, this next year, you can pop that baby in your pocket. And you can challenge me with, hey, you got your rock on you? And if I do, cool. If I don't, you know, don't be mad. But I'm going to try this next year to throw that rock in my pocket every day. And when I think about that little rock in my pocket, I'm going to think about how I am being built into a holy temple with the community of saints, the brothers and sisters in Christ, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. And I'm just going to remember, when I have that little rock in my pocket, I'm just going to remember, Jesus is with me. He's with me. And this next year, if Seth Kunze finds out he has cancer, I'm going to pull that little rock out of my pocket, and I'm just going to hold that rock tight. And I'm going to just hold that rock, and I'm just going to trust, Jesus, you're with me through this. And this next year, when something awesome happens and you find out you won the lottery, pull that little rock out and just hold on to that rock. Jesus, you're with me. This next year, when you find out somebody just died, this next year, when you're struggling with that addiction, this next year, when you're struggling, I want you to pull that little rock out of your pocket or take it off your dresser or whatever you do with it and just hold on to that rock. And I want you to think about, Jesus, you are with me. And you're with me right now. So ushers, you guys can go ahead and start giving those out. And you guys can just literally just pick out a rock. Yeah, thanks guys for doing that. That's cool, man. That's cool. So you do it over again. If you end up throwing this rock out to the gravel pit out here, I'm not going to be offended. But for the one or two of you maybe who take this on, I want you to just have that in your little pocket or put it in your purse or put it in your truck or throw it in your car or whatever. And know that God is with you. He wants to be with you in every single aspect of your life. And yeah, you might have to pick out a real good one. Just don't get a bad one. Take them back if you got a bad one. I want every person to have their rock. Once you have your rock, just hold that in your hand. Just hold that in your hand. Everybody got their rock? Mr. Richard, can I grab a rock? Oh, sorry. Oh, I don't want a good one. Ooh, I got a good one. Ooh, I got the best one. Just look at your rock a little bit. You remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor. Just take a look at your rock. Your love surrounds me. Listen, God wants to be first. He wants to be central. He wants to be what this year is all about. It's all about him. It's all about him. And the fact that he wants to come and be with us, man, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's incredible. For those of you who don't maybe know that to be true, or you're kind of wondering still, give that some thought. Because if that's all I'm going into this next year with 2019 is this stuff, if that's all I got is my pocket knife on me and my wallet and my phone, I'm not going to lie, that freaks me out. That freaks me out. Everybody pretty much got a rock. Hold it in your hand if you want, or whatever you want to do with it. Let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We give you thanks and praise that you are the rock of our life, rock of ages, the rock of ages. God, we thank you that you are present with us this next year. God, we don't have a clue what we're going to experience. We might experience a year of tragedy. We might experience a year full of joys and exciting things. It might be a year of weddings. It might be a year of divorce. It might be a year of mending of relationships. It might be a year of relationships breaking. It might be a year of healing. It might be a year of cancer. It might be a year. We just don't know, God, what this year is going to bring. And I just thank you and praise you, oh God, that you come and you want to be with us in the middle of it. That you come and dwell with us, Lord. We want you. We desire to have you in our homes. We want you, Jesus, to be with us in our workplace. We want you to be with us in the truck. And there's some of us, there's a part of us that doesn't want that. Oh, I don't want God to see that. But God, in those moments, right in that moment, help us to pull out our little rock and to repent of our sin. We're sorry, God. We're sorry we screwed that up. I want you with me always. And God, I just thank you that you come even into those times to bring us forgiveness, to bring us healing. It's not about us, some deistic God that's just there for our therapy and just there to see the good things we do. No, that's not it at all. You're a God who is part of every aspect of our life. The great dwelling. God dwelling with his people. Man, I thank you for that, Jesus. Go with us this next year, God. Go with us this next year. In Jesus' name.